What's up? Let's give a round of hand. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Yes, please stand up. I am so excited for today. We had great two services. I want to welcome everybody watching online, all the campuses. God is moving today, and I'm excited for what he's going to do in your life. You guys excited to be in church? Great. Anybody not excited to be here today? Anybody not excited? We're going to pray for you. Not real. Okay, we'll pray for you anyway. I know there's someone like, I just came because my mother told me. Anyway, I'm so excited. Let's lift our hands up. Let's breathe. I was talking to someone early today, and someone, their coworker just died, and she was crying. He died kind of suddenly. Let's be thankful for the breath we have right now. It's not guaranteed. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your breath of life that you've given us. Thank you for the ability to learn about you from your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We pray you speak to us, encourage us, affirm that you see us and know what's going on in our individual lives, and that you got it taken care of. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. And before we get into that, a couple things. I want to thank all of you for praying for my grandson. He came home this week, and he is home. God bless you. And just continue to pray for him as he recovers from what he's been through. I can't give details, but he's got a little road ahead of him. So just pray for him and his family, his parents, my son and his wife and their kids and the grandparents too, you know what I'm saying? Because we get impacted, but it's all fun. It's all good. Thank you for the shoes, the 2,000 shoes that you guys gave to the rescue mission. Very good. And today we get to take our Heart for Your House offering that we've been talking about. Come on. Let's be excited. Come on. So, you know, my wife and I, we were going through something recently, and she was crying. And I said to her, why are you crying? And I knew what the circumstance was, but I was asking her to process what about the circumstance made her cry, because I was feeling the same way, and I had to process it myself. And I had come to a conclusion, and I want to know what her conclusion would be. And when you think about God, why God is good, if someone said to you, or if you said, God is good, I would say, why? I would encourage you regularly to really process why God is good. Because if you just say God is good and really don't process it, you're probably not going to appreciate the depth of God's goodness to you. So I just want to go over a few reasons why God is good. Now, he's good for more reasons than we can think. But I'm just going to give you a few. One, he created us in his image so we can have a relationship with him. Amen? How many of y'all got a dog? Okay? There's only but so close you can get to the dog. Like, you could talk to the dog, he don't know what you're saying. And he sure can't talk back. I mean, whatever. It's like, get out of my face. You made me think he tells you he loves you, but he's like, you know, your breath stinks. I don't know what he's saying. But God created us in his image so he can have a relationship with us. When we sinned and pushed him away, he created a plan of salvation. He didn't have to. He could have said, well, you're on your own. Created the Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. They had 12 tribes. And then Jesus came into the world through the nation of Israel. And then he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross and rise from the dead. I'm thankful for that. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm thankful that God made a way for us to get out of our own mess. I'm thankful that God created prayer, an opportunity for us to talk to him. And by the way, when you pray and when you think about prayer, I would encourage you to think more about what he's saying to you than what you have to say to him. He already knows what you're going to say. He wants you to say it. But what he has to say to you is way more important than what you have to say to him. So just make sure you spend time listening. And when you listen, write. I would encourage you, whenever you pray, whenever you can do this, have some place you can record what you hear. Because he's going to talk to you. And if he's going to talk to you, he wants you to listen. And if he's going to tell you something, it's important for you to remember. So just write it down. And even if you'll think, well, what does God's voice sound like? I'm going to tell you, it sounds like your conscience. But even if you get it wrong, still write it down. If it's biblical, write it down, and you can't go wrong. I'm glad God gave us the Bible guidelines on what's right and wrong and evidence of what's right and wrong. When you sin, something dies. I know in our culture, everybody has their own opinion about what's right and wrong, what truth is. My truth is my truth. Your truth is your truth. That's true, but your truth may be not true. You may be wrong. And so God said, here's how you know. My truth, God's truth, is consistent with the Bible, and when you violate it, something will die. The penalty of sin is death. So he gives us clear guidelines on whatever your lifestyle is, whatever you do, if it brings death, it's probably in violation of the Bible. But there's something I want to talk about that is foundational to our lesson today, and it's the law of reciprocation. The law of reciprocation. And to reciprocate is a mutual benefit. I always get this definition wrong. Where's my definition? Could we give a definition? There it is. A mutual exchange of feelings or actions. It's when you treat someone one way and you get treated back that way. Now, people always don't reciprocate to you what you give to them. However, God is in the reciprocation business. In other words, God says to us many times throughout the Bible, if you do this, I will do this. This is very important because in a lot of religions around the world, and they're false, they don't have a father, they don't have a God, they don't have a personal relationship with their higher power. So whether they're going to come back in the next life reincarnated or whether they're going to go to heaven like an Islam, they don't really know. There's not really clear steps. It's still up to this arbitrary God that they don't know. God's saying, you know me. I'm going to give you direction on having a relationship with you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to give you access to me. But I'm also going to tell you how you can be blessed and how you cannot be blessed and ruin a blessing. And so there's this law of reciprocation that if you do these things, I'm going to do these things. Now, I'm going to read a few of them to you, and then we'll get to the one that's the basis of the lesson today. But these are God's promises. And that's why they're good, because God's telling us. And matter of fact, when you pray, I would encourage you to include the Bible when you pray. In other words, dear God, I forgive my cousin, and you said, if I forgive my brother, you will forgive me, so please forgive me. Use his word against him. It's not like it's against him. You are saying, God, I am referencing your truth in my prayer, so I'm praying based on your word. God said, that's what I want. That's what I want. Okay, y'all, you follow me, say? You know, follow me? So you can pray this. Look what this says. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Pray this. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God, I'm getting ready to give. Can you give it back to me? Good measure, pressed down, shaken. He's going to say, I will. Now, I don't know what he's going to press down and measure back to you, but it's going to be good. Matter of fact, the Bible says, well, if a man's son asks for a piece of bread, would his father give him a stone? No. Then he says, if your heavenly father knows how to give you good gifts, certainly I know how to do that. So the Bible says, if you give, it will be given back to you. 1 Samuel 2:30. This is God. Those who honor me, I will honor. How many of y'all want God to honor you? Respect you, right? Okay, honor God. You honor God, he says, he will honor you. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you take a step towards God, you want him to take a step towards you. He's not going to run from you. Matter of fact, he's going to come to you quicker than you can go to him. So if you say, God, I'm drawing near to you, just know for sure he's drawing near to you. That's good news. Matthew 6:14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Some of y'all are asking God to bless you, forgive you, and maybe implicitly overlook the drama you created because you never asked forgiveness. You don't bring it up like it never happened. Yet you're asking God to do this. He's like, no. Before we talk about this prayer request you have, let's deal with that. You got to deal with Puku and Ray Ray because you didn't forgive your cousin. You didn't forgive your wife, your husband. And I'll tell you, forgiveness is not about approving what they did. Forgiveness is about you. Because when you forgive, you release the burden that they have to fix you. Because if you're carrying an unforgiveness burden, that unforgiveness can actually make you physically sick, emotionally sick. It can ruin your mood, ruin your relationships. And that person ain't even thinking about you. They're getting free rent in your heart. Let that go. God is saying, I'm trying to help you out. Because once you forgive them, now me and you can talk. We can have a relationship. We can be focused on what I want for you. Matthew 7:2, for with what judgment you judge, it will be judged back to you. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you judge, you're going to be judged. So this idea of reciprocation applies in all areas of your life. And as we prepare for our offering, it also applies in your giving. We talked 3 weeks ago in this series what tithing is. Tithing is given 10%. And the Bible says that if you tithe, which by the way, the tithe belongs to God. Think, look, this is how good God is. The tithe, the 10% that he put in your check, it belongs to him. So he says, I want you to give back to me what belongs to me. And by the way, if you give back to me what belongs to you, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and bless you. Now, well, let's think about this. You're giving to him what belongs to him, and he's blessing you just for giving it to him what belongs to him. Why should you get any credit for giving him what belongs to him? Are you following? I think we should thank God for that. I think that's a good deal. We talked about tithing being 10%. We also learned that first fruits is the first 10%, and it comes with a blessing. Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Again, the principle is you honor me with your first, I bless you. Last week we talked about offering. Offering was over and above, which belongs to you. God says that's yours. And I only want you to give if you willingly and freely want to be a blessing. It's a good deal. Today, we're going to talk about the principle of reaping and sowing. Now, we don't usually use those words, reap and sow, but really, it's planting, sow, S-O-W, and harvesting. Okay? It's planting and harvesting. Four principles or laws of reaping and sowing. Number one, what we reap what we sow. You reap what you sow. This principle focuses on the nature of what you will reap. Look what the Bible says in Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows or plants, that he will reap or harvest. For he who sows to the flesh, arrogance, pride, selfishness, manipulation. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption or death. But he who sows to the Spirit, obedience to God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, sow is planting, depositing something into something. You're depositing something into the kingdom of God. You're depositing something into someone's life. Reaping is harvesting. Now, you may have heard the term reap from Grim Reaper. Y'all know the Grim Reaper? It's the black dude. It's a black dude. He's not Negro black. He's just black. He's got the black hood, the dark face, because he represents death. Are y'all following me? Yeah. Are y'all following me? Okay. Great. So he's got the hood on, and he doesn't have a face. It's just darkness, death, and he has his black robe on, and he has a big sickle. The sickle is what he's going to cut down. In wheat or whatever, people, and harvest or reap souls. That's where that comes from. The principle of reaping and sowing in the Bible is that whatever you plant in the physical, you reap, and whatever you plant in the spiritual, you reap. So the Bible says, we just read, you reap what you sow. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, don't think this doesn't apply to you. Don't ever think, if you don't do good, I will not repay you. Don't ever think if you do bad, I will not repay you. The Bible says the wages of sin, the salary, the payment you get for sin is death. Romans 6:23, the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That if you're obedient to God, God is gonna bless you according to your obedience. And so he says, don't be deceived because God is not gonna be mocked. You're not gonna prove God a liar. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be paid or receive recompense for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We will stand before God and give account to the good and the bad. 100% of the time you plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. 100% of the time you plant an orange seed, you get an orange tree. 0% of the time will it be anything else. So if you sow bitterness, you will reap bitterness. If you sow drama, you will reap drama. How many of y'all know that drama? How many of y'all are that drama person, okay? There's always, some people, they just live to, they're like they got drama radar. They're just looking for stuff to gossip about. Those are sad people. You should pray for those people. We have some people, I'm sure all of you have someone like that in your life. We got people in that life, in our life, and we just pray for them. Because they must go to bed miserable and wake up miserable. But if you want to change that, start sowing positivity and love and joy and peace and patience on people's lives and blessing on people's lives and watch what God does in your heart. Number two, we reap after we sow. This principle focuses on the timing of what we reap. Galatians 6, 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption and in due season. Everyone say due season. Say due season. You shall reap if you do not lose heart. When the farmer sows the seed, buries it in the ground on a Monday, he doesn't come back on Tuesday looking for the tree. He waits. It rains. He waits. It's sunny. He waits. And he knows over time that seed is going to grow. He doesn't dig in the ground and see if the roots are growing. He patiently, patiently waits. My encouragement to you, if you are faithfully sowing, man, you're going to church, you're reading your word, you're praying, your harvest is coming. If you've been faithful, your harvest is coming. If you've been generous, your harvest is coming. If you've been kind to someone who doesn't like you, your harvest is coming. God is going to bless you. And as much as the devil can throw drama in your life, as much as the devil can try to spoil what God is doing in your life, God's blessings will always overcome the devil's curses in your life. And so just understand, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And when that drama comes, just understand it's a test. And it's a way for God to continue to draw you closer to him. How many, by a show of hands, have been drunk before? Okay, good. See, you know what I like about 12 o'clock service? Y'all are just like, yes, yes, I've been drunk. The other service I asked, and it's like five people raised their hand. I'm like, come on, y'all lying up in Sundays. You know, tell me on a Saturday you're lying, but you're actually in the house of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just went, yep. You've been drunk, hungover, throwed up, maybe you passed out. God was just warning you. God, in his mercy, was warning you. How many of you have ever gotten in your car, drunk, high, whatever, and you have no idea how you got home? You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all woke up with somebody you didn't know who they were? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. It's kind of a rhetorical question. If I don't do this, don't do that, okay? It's kind of a, let me move on. I never did that, but I'm just saying, I did some stuff, don't get me wrong, but I'm just not that. I think I remembered everybody's name. So, hey, I had my past. Listen, I was out there, okay? That's why I pray, you know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes people forget the humanity of the pastor. You know, I got pain and drama. Just like I had a pastor come to me and say, "Hey, pastor, help me grow my church to 4,000. I said, "Why? Why? Because you're gonna get devils you never had. And whatever y'all do, every level, there's a different devil. And you wanna, you know, have these many likes and these many followers, and just understand there's another demon up there that you don't have right now. So just make sure you're pursuing the right thing for the right reason. My brother was a professional boxer. I don't know if you knew this, but he was ranked 8th in the world, and his gym was in Times Square in New York. Times Square Boxing Club was the name of the gym. And these guys would come in and work out, and, you know, they jump rope, and they hit the speed bag all in the mirror, and they're sweaty, and they look all good, and, you know, they got their glazed brown, you know, skin, and a lot of Puerto Ricans in New York, so they come there, they got their hair cut, boom, boom, boom. And if you want to know Puerto Rican in New York, it's this face right here. My father told me I was adopted from Puerto Rico when I was a little kid. I wasn't. I have no Latin in me, but I look so much like that. He said, "Your mother was from Puerto Rico." So my whole life I grew up wondering if I was from Puerto Rico. But these guys were coming in, they box, and they're looking in the mirror, hitting the speed bag, and as soon as they get hit, it's a whole different ballgame. Some would come back, some would never come back. So whatever you're pursuing, make sure you have the right reason, so when you get hit, you know, "I'm not leaving." And I'm going to tell you, when you decide you want to follow God, the devil's going to come after you at a different level. So you need to know that God is faithful and that God is worth it and that God's got your back. And then when you feel like you're on your last leg, he's standing right there saying, "You can take it. You can take it." When my son was 10, 11, 9, 8, I don't remember, he was little. We had this game where I tied his hands behind his back and threw him in the pool. And I had this long pole that was the leaves out of the pool. I turned it around backwards. I had a long pole, and I was just, whenever he would try to get to the side, I'd push him into the deep end because I wanted to see how long he can survive. Now, I would jump in. I would jump in if he needed it, but, you know, he's like, "Yeah, Dad, let's do it." I mean, he was, you know, he's a little kid. He's like, "Little boy, let's do it. Tie me up. I'm going to be like Navy SEAL." And I don't remember if I tied his feet. I think it was just his hands. And he was like, "I got you." The only way you're going to learn is if you push yourself past what you could do before. And your loving Father in heaven will allow you to do the same thing. So if you think everything's falling apart, God is like, "I got you. I got you." So, number three, we reap more than we sow. This is so good. This principle focuses on the amount of what you will reap. Galatians says, 6:8, "He who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life." I want you to think about this. You are a sinner. Your sin deserves death. Your sin killed Jesus on the cross, the Son of God. And all you have to do is say, "Lord, please forgive me. I'm so sorry." And God will say, "Now you have heaven." That's a good deal. Now, you got to be faithful. You got to be sincere. You can't just say, "God, forgive me," and you go about your business. But if you really give your life to the Lord, I had a kid asked me this. He was, I don't know, 15, 14. He said, "So if I live my whole life sinful and doing what I want to do, and I said to God, 'God, forgive me,' would he forgive me?" I said, "If you were sincere." And then he said, "Wouldn't that be cheating God that I did everything I wanted to do at the end, I go to heaven?" Well, not really, because you cheated your life. You wasted your whole life on stuff that isn't as much of a blessing as if you were to walk with God. So you're the one who got cheated. Even to think that you cheated God is the deception. that what you, your life living your way is better than living God's way. And so you have to understand that God is always gonna give you more than what you deserve. I want you to think about this. How many of y'all like math? Anybody like math? Okay, this is truly five people, okay? It's my favorite by far subject. I could sit in my house and just do numbers about anything all day and be very happy. I just love numbers, okay? So here's a number math thing for you. It may lose your brain, but I'm gonna get you at the end if I lose you on the trip. The average apples have about five little clusters of cavities of seeds in them. And they have one to two seeds in each little cavity in the middle. So the average apple has, you know, 5 to 10 seeds. He thinks I'm saying 6, 7. No, he's like, he's down here going, Mom, he's saying 6, 7. They have about 6 or 7 seeds. Say 6, 7. And each, now think about this. One apple has 7 seeds, or 6. One seed can produce a tree that will have 300 to 600 apples per year. One seed, 300 to 600 apples. That means in 30 years, it'll have 9,000 apples. I'm sorry, 9,000 seeds 1 year. If you do 9,000, man, I'm messing up my own math. Let me get to the end. After 30 years, 63,000 seeds, you would have 567 million apples from one seed. Now, we don't know, we know how many seeds are in the apple, we just don't know how many apples are in the seed. Every single one of you represents infinite blessing in the kingdom of God. And when you say, God, I am sowing this seed into the kingdom, we have no idea the fruit that's gonna come from that seed. So understand, when you give your money, which we're gonna collect here in a minute, when you give your time, your energy, your prayers, your service, your humility, your encouragement, you have no idea the ripple effect, because God always has you reap way more than you sow. And whenever someone comes up to you, if they ever have, and said, you have no idea how much you bless me, you really don't. And matter of fact, sometimes they don't, because they don't realize the ripple effect of that encouragement. And so number four, we reap only if we sow. Matter of fact, let me say this before I get there. When you read the Bible, you are sowing into yourself. And if you allow the word sown into you to go on good soil, not the kind of soil that says, I don't believe that, where did he get that? Is that really in the Bible? Not a heart that's doubting and choking the word out, but a heart that says, Lord, speak to me, reveal to me truth. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 13, 23. You shall bring fruit forth 160-30-fold in your own life. So God is always going to bless you way more than you sow. The Bible says is it true on the negative side. Hosea 6:7 says, if you sow the wind in chaos, you will reap the whirlwind. If you sow drama, you will reap disaster. If you sow confusion, you will reap chaos. So understand, just a little bit of negativity can come a long way back to you, way worse than you deserve. So fourthly, we reap only if we sow. The principle focuses on the requirement to sow in order for you to reap. You can't say, God, just give me blessings, but I'm not gonna do anything. That's called entitlement. Entitlement is, and by the way, we have a very entitled culture. And what I mean by that is that, hey, my Uber needs to be here right now. My Uber Eats needs to be right here. I don't need to go anywhere. You just need to do this for me. I don't need to work. I'm just gonna be an influencer and get on and do some little blah, 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 blah on my phone. I'll make money. We have a very, very entitled culture where it's just supposed to happen overnight. Nothing happens overnight. I was listening to a Ice Cube on some little Instagram post. I don't know where he was at. But he said something very fascinating that I would encourage all of you to take heed to. He said, if you're not willing to work 5 years and grind it out for 5 years and get nothing in return, you don't deserve it. Because you see people on TV and or Instagram that have a lot of things going on. And unless you've done that, you have no idea the sacrifice it takes. We just think it's supposed to come easy. And when it doesn't come easy, I'm going to go on something else. We do the same thing with God. God, please bless me. I need a wife. I need to have a degree, her own job, and $1 million. And then I need her by 2 o'clock. And by 2 o'clock, you ain't got nothing but you in the mirror. God, he's phony. God is not on your timetable at all. At all. He is not our servant at all. He died. But now it's on us to serve him. And it's like, God, listen, when my grandson was in the hospital, I can't tell you all the complications, but it was not no big deal. It was a big deal. God's faithful. He always has. He always will be. I asked my son, how you doing with God? He said, I'm drawing closer to God. Good. I don't know what y'all are going through, but it's this big in the scope of difficulty for God to deal with. You have to trust him. You cannot be, maybe I'll go over here, maybe. No, no. God's going to bless you 100-fold when you trust him. And you obey him. And you do things his way. You're dating? Honor the woman you're dating. Don't sleep with her until you marry her. Oh, that's old fashioned. It is. It's ancient. It's eternal. For real. You got a job? Be faithful in your job. Get there early and leave late. Don't get there late and leave early. Work hard. Tithe, pay your taxes, be kind, say sorry, thank you, and please the people. Basic stuff. Don't be like the people who don't follow Jesus. Be like Jesus. That's what Christian means. And if you do those things, your life will change. That is reciprocation. We're getting ready to take an offering. If this is your church, you should tithe. Yes, God will bless your money, period. If you don't, he won't. Don't complain. That job you're trying to get, that promotion, you might not be getting it, maybe, because he can't trust you with it. That woman you're not getting, you want that fine woman, you, blah, 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 blah. He can't trust you because he knows that if you get that fine woman, you're going to leave God. Or if you get that man that actually has all his teeth, you won't pray anymore. He will be your God. So let's step back and say, Lord, I'm only going to reap the benefits of God if I do what you say. Look what the Bible says in Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in doing good. I'm not going to be tired of being faithful. For in due season we shall reap. If, everyone say if. Say if. We do not lose heart. If you eat the apple and the seed, you have nothing to plant. And if you have nothing to plant, you will not have any fruit to harvest. You can't keep it all to yourself. Anything. He doesn't want you to keep all of anything to yourself. Even the blessings of being peaceful and joyful. He wants you to share that with people. But we take all the blessings of God and we just like lotion. Yeah, I'm feeling good. And you know, just rubbing all over myself. It's like, no, no, no. Why don't you share a little bit of that? Because there's someone right down the street from you that's miserable. Miserable. People in my neighborhood, oh my gosh, we hear them screaming at night at each other, cursing at each other. And I have something that can help them. You have something that can help them. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take an offering here, but I want to show you where the offering is going. It's going to reach people. Going to reach the nations, military heroes, Toys for Joy, city cleanups, food distributions, global missions, crisis response, next gen evangelism, Just One San Diego, training people to share their faith. Evangelism equipping, rally nights, kids ministry, youth impact in San Diego, future. We want to invest in the kingdom of God. We want to help people learn how to share their faith. I give you a stat. You've heard about Just One, the evangelism training. If I or anybody led 20,000 people to the Lord every 3 months, four times a year, if I led 20,000 people to the Lord four times a year, four different events, it would take 1,250 years to get to a billion. 1,200 years. Well, I ain't going to live 1,200 years. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm wrong. Should have had a VA. 12,500 years to reach a billion. 20,000. Every year, it would take 12,500 years to get to a billion. If we had 1,000 people that all led one person to the Lord a year, one, and then all those people led one, and all those people led one, it would take 20 years to get to a billion. And all you gotta do is one a year. We wanna teach y'all how to do that. And all y'all got at least one that needs Christ. Can I get an amen? It's not hard. So we wanna invest in that. So if you can take out this piece of paper, form, pledge sheet. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. Appreciate you just being very patient during this time. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Thank you for taking that. And let me say this before we get into filling it out. God, I got up this morning excited because I'm assuming God was telling me a lot of people are gonna step into a new blessing in their life, a level of obedience in their life. Because when you fast food, it's a very big step of faith and God breaks off a lot of unbelief in your life. When you give financially, it's a very big step and God breaks off a lot of unbelief in your life and God takes you to another level in your relationship. So I believe it's gonna happen with a lot of y'all today.
Hey, Rock Church, Pastor Becky here. I just want to thank you for all that God did through your gifts, talents, and treasures in 2025. Lives have been transformed, families restored, and our church has reached further into the community than ever before. And we want to carry that same heart, that same momentum into 2026. To continue building with us, give your offering by texting NEXT STEPS to 52525 and look for Heart for Your House in the spotlight section. We are so grateful for you. Let's pray, Rock family. Lord, I thank you so much for the hearts of generosity that you have given to the people. Lord, I pray that you supernaturally expand this offering that you've put on everyone's hearts, and we ask for an overflow of blessing and favor over the households. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.